So he's a stuntman and also a stunt coordinator. A stunt coordinator hires a stuntman. So anyway, one night, I get a phone call from my friend, and he's saying, "Hey, Jason, are you available to work tomorrow? I need somebody to double an actor." And I was like, "Yeah, shoot, yeah, I work." You know, because the original stunt double that he had for that person couldn't make it. So I was like, "Yeah, great." So I was super thankful. So he said, "Okay, it's just for a day, and it's tomorrow." I said, "Okay, cool." So I go to work. We don't get the job done, so it's one day. Then one day turns to 2 days. Then 2 days turn to 3 days. And I'm like, oh, it's so awesome, because in the film industry, when you want to work as much days as you can because it's so profitable, right? So anyway, at the end of the week, my friend decided to have a beach day with some of the actors from the show. They wanted to learn how to surf. So he had a beach day, but I was kind of busy, so I didn't hang out with them. But at the end of the day, I went down to the beach to check him out, you know, just to say hello. And I noticed that he had two jet skis on two different trailers. He had a whole bunch of surfboards and a whole bunch a big sub squash. And when I got to the beach, I looked and I was like, "Hey, wait a minute. There's two jet skis and two trailers, but there's only one truck." So instantly I went up to him. "Hey, do you need help taking that other jet ski home?" And local style is like, nah, brother, nah, I get him. And I said, "No, you know what, let me hook that jet ski trailer to my truck, I'll take it to your house, I'll reverse it, I'll put it in your yard, and I'll wash it for you." And he's like, okay. So I end up doing what I told him I was going to do. So while I'm at his house, I'm washing the jet ski, and it's a hassle. It took me 45 minutes to clean up, right? So I thought to myself, why did I tell him that I would do this, right? And I thought about it, and I was thinking, wow, you know, because I was so appreciative, and because I was so thankful that he chose me, that he gave me a job the week before, that I willingly, with a heart of appreciation, did that task, right? And you know, I was thinking. But then I continued to meditate, like, you know, why? You know, why did I just open my mouth like that? And then I realized that I saw something that he needed. And it was an opportunity for me to bless him with that need that he needed. He needed someone to help him with all that stuff that he had. And I had the knowledge. I had everything that I knew to how to clean the jet ski and wash the engine. So with that heart of appreciation, I just willingly did it for him, right? And I want to go read a story that's in Luke chapter 17, verse 12 through 19. And here is a story about 10 guys who got healed by Jesus, right? But one of them got the better of the healing because of one thing, because he was so thankful that Jesus had done this. So here we go into Luke chapter 17, verses 12. I'm going to read it to you. Now, okay, let me go find 12. I know, I was reading 11. Okay, there it is. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. How cool was that? He just tells them, "Go show yourself to the priests." And then as they were walking, they got healed, they got cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, so he looked at himself and he's like, "Oh," returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and fell down on his face at Jesus's feet, giving him thanks. The Amplified version is he's giving him thanks over and over and over again. And he was a Samaritan, a foreigner. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory, to give thanks to God, except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Yes. So with that, out of the abundance of that guy's heart, for that healing that he received, that other 10 guys, they received the same thing. But he was a little bit different because he looked at himself and he was, with an appreciation, gave all his thanks, gave all his glory back to Jesus. Said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. With so much appreciation that Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Yes. And that's what I'm trying to tell us today of when we give, if we have that willingness and that heart of appreciation for what God has done for us and what God has provided for us, his son, and many, many much more, that we can come with that giving, with that attitude, that the attitude of appreciation for what he has done. And like how when I was cleaning my friend's jet ski like that, it was effortless. It's because there was that something in you that was willing because of that appreciation. Amen. Yeah. And then in the Bible it says, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, so today when we come up here and give, let's have that expectation, that heart of appreciation for all that we have, because we have so much that God had given to us.
Amen.
Amen. So here at the Ark, So here at the Ark, we have three quick and easy ways to give, as you can see that on the back of the screen. And whichever method you choose to do, we hope that you give cheerfully and intentionally to the Lord.
Amen.
And if you choose to give electronically, we would like to encourage you to fill out one of those giving slips and bring it up and present it to the Lord. And if you want, let's see, if you want to give an envelope, please raise your hands, and then an usher nearby would place one into your hands also. And I'm going to speak to the members. And members, if you see any new guests or family or friends, please greet them and make them feel at home. You know, guests, we are so glad that you are here. And then... during our time of giving, we would like to welcome you and be a blessing to you. Some people will come up to you and give you a handshake, high five, or some will also bless you with a gift in your hand. Please keep that for yourself, because we believe that what the Bible says, wherever our treasure is, wherever our heart will be there also. And we want our hearts to be with you. Yeah. So when you want to give, we'll have two baskets. Did I just say that? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, when you have two baskets, we'll be up here, and you can bring your tithes and offerings up here in Jesus' name. Sorry. I'm just too excited. Yeah. Amen. Music, please. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Didn't Jason do a great job? Awesome. What an amazing story. Hey, if you gave your life to Jesus today, or you recommitted your life to him during our time of worship, you'll find a card in the center seat back of the row in front of you that looks just like this. It says, I have decided. What we'd like to ask you to do is, I promise you, we won't spam you, we won't be calling you, we definitely won't be coming to your house, okay? But all we ask is that you just fill this out. All we want to do is just send you and let you know what your next step is with Jesus Christ, how to take that next step. And we want to just pray with you, bless you as you follow on with Jesus Christ. So you can find those hopefully in the seat back behind you. If not, we can get them going around from the Welcome Center and with our ushers. So if you would just fill that out, just drop it into the offering. We'd love to follow up with you and bless you in the name of the Lord. When you're ready to give, guys, put on some music and we'll come and give.
Oh, Oh, I didn't even know.
Okay. No, because I just like your... No, I love it.
Well, we have a gift up here. Someone gave in an envelope for Pastor Jake and Jolie. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to bless the tithes and the offerings. All right, Father, thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done and all that you are doing in each and every one of us. And thank you, Lord God, that we appreciate you and you are worthy of our praises. We lift you up and we glorify you. I thank you for the tithes and the offerings, that it be sown in good ground and it reaps a hundredfold of harvest, Lord God. I thank you for everyone that has given into this the offering, and ask that you bless their hands and bless the work that they have and increase it more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'd like to introduce the lead pastor of the Ark Christian Church, Pastor Jake.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys. You can have your seats. Have your seats. Man, it is so good to see all of you here today, and we're going to take just a couple moments to release our kids' class teachers and helpers over onto this side here. Now, if you're a guest here with us today and you've got kids that are between the ages of 4 and 12 and you would like for them to go to our kids' class, you're more than welcome to send them. And if you would prefer to keep them with you, you're absolutely fine to keep them with you. We love having kids in service with us. We don't mean for everybody to go unless you really want them to. And so, kids, you can go ahead and meet your teachers over here. Thank you, parents, for holding them for just a little while. I know it's like holding back the flood, right? Well, we're just going to bless these guys as they go off to their classes. Lord God, we thank you for the kids' class. We thank you, Father, for a forum where they can get the seed of the Word of God placed into their hearts. Lord, we ask that you would give the teachers wisdom, that you would give them grace, that you would give them an anointing to teach these young ones. Lord, you said, forbid not the little ones to come unto me. So, Father, we pray that they would each find a deep relationship with you. We love them. We bless them now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, hey, I'm Pastor Jake, as you've heard a couple of times. I'm the lead pastor of the church here, and we're so glad that you're with us today for our Thanksgiving service. It's a great day to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. And we have a wonderful banquet that's coming up right after this. We'll remind you about this after the service concludes, but we're going to ask that as soon as we conclude our service, you would really help us and our ushers as we're going to be clearing chairs here and clearing the space so we can put some tables down to eat on. We're going to ask you if you could take your things and either put them against the side walls, or if you would take them and take them right to your vehicle. It's going to take us a little bit of time to pack up the chairs and to set the tables down, and it's easier that way without all the stuff in the way. So we'll remind you at the end, but just wanted to give you a quick heads up about that. Next week is going to be an amazing week with Pastor Paul Sasha Waller. He's a great minister, travels all over the world, and if nothing else, what will happen is that your worldview and your heart for God's world is going to be expanded when he comes. He's going to be ministering to us. He'll give you an update on what's going on in Hong Kong. Can I tell you that whatever you're hearing on the news, even if you're listening to multiple news outlets, you are not getting the whole picture. I've been listening around because I've been talking with Pastor Paul about what's going on there, and this conflict has been going on for quite some time now. And no matter what news station, no matter what news outlets I've been watching, you're just not hearing the whole picture. And so I hope that you'll come, you'll hear a little bit about that, get a heart for Hong Kong. He's a missionary from England to Hong Kong for the last 40 plus years, doing a phenomenal work there and around the world. They've got orphanages, they support pastors, they support indigenous peoples around the world, and their hearts are really for God's world. And so we hope that you'll come, get inspired, not just to go around the world. You've heard it said before that God doesn't need you to go across the world. He needs you to go across your street. He needs you to go across the aisle to the other side and talk to people and give them the love of Jesus Christ. And so come next week. It's going to be awesome. Worship is going to be off the chains as always. If today's your first time, we invite you to come back. It's going to be great. If you don't like it today, try it again next week. It's going to be different. So come on back and be around some of the most wonderful people on the face of the planet. Well, I hope that you guys are ready. I'm going to preach a relatively short message today about Thanksgiving. I want to talk to you today about where in the world is Thanksgiving. For those of you that are old like me, you might recognize this kind of logo banner thing. You guys remember Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Anybody in here remember that? All right. Thank you. I see those hands. You're old too. All right. Well, we're going to talk about where in the world is Thanksgiving. You know, a number of years ago, I went to, actually it was 1 week to the day after our daughter Hunter was born, that I went off to Africa for 2 weeks to go and minister the gospel in the country of Uganda. And I wouldn't normally do that. In fact, I was supposed to go on her due date, but we just said, young child in the womb, your first act of obedience in this life is to come early. And being that she was the first child, that's not really normal for them to come early compared to their due date. But she was obedient, like she's supposed to be, and she came 1 week early. And so I left my wife with a brand new baby and went off at the word of the Lord to go to Africa for 2 weeks. We were all over the place. We were in not safe conditions. We had, fortunately, the president's personal bodyguards with us, but we were in some not safe territories. But one of the things that I got to do was I got to go to some amazing places like the equator and some other places around. But one thing I did get to see was I got to go and see the Nile River. Now, a lot of people think that the source of the Nile River is actually Lake Victoria. Now, there is some water that comes from Lake Victoria and goes down the Nile River. However,
that's not necessarily the source of the Nile River. The Nile River has a number of sources, but really the main source of the Nile River is in this place called Jinja in Uganda. And I got to go there, and they're going to throw a picture of it. All right, so this is the these are the rapids at Jinja in Uganda. Now, there is an artesian flow that comes up from under the ground near the place where Lake Victoria and the Nile River meet. And this spring is pouring up out of the ground, and it causes these massive rapids to take place. These are like class 5 or grade 5 rapids, if you're familiar with rapids. And if you look around and scour around on the internet, what you will find is that there are people, some of the locals there at this tourist trap, that they show you this area here. And what they do is they get a 5-gallon gas can, like one of those, well, I think it's bigger than that. It's a maybe 10-gallon. It's one of those yellow, kind of tall, vertical gas cans. And the young African boys grab onto these gas cans, and they jump into that. And they ride the rapids down, get out of the water, and come on up. And if you want to, you can rent their gas can for $5, and you can jump in the rapids too. And I did not do that, because I'm not crazy. Look at that boat. I mean, that thing is getting swamped by the rapids. See, sometimes we think that the source of something is in one place, when that's really not the source of it. I want to talk to you about where the source of Thanksgiving is. What causes Thanksgiving to happen to us? You know, Thanksgiving is actually one of my favorite holidays because it's kind of it's almost a purely American holiday, you know? I like that. I like turkey and all of that stuff, but I like the concept of Thanksgiving, being thankful for life, being thankful for food, being thankful for the people around us, being thankful for surviving another year in the case of the pilgrims. And I'm so glad that we get to celebrate Thanksgiving together today. So here's what I did. I wanted to find out, where does Thanksgiving come from? So I looked all throughout my Bible. Now I have Bible searching programs, and I've got some powerful tools at my disposal. And I started searching throughout the entire Bible, scouring it, doing all kinds of searches that I could think of. I started looking on the internet. I even went to Google. I tried to find out if Google knew something that I didn't know. I started digging and digging and digging. I even asked some of the smartest people that I know, like my dad. And so I started searching to find out, where does Thanksgiving come from? You know what I found out? This is what I found out from the Bible, that there is nothing, not even God, that makes us be thankful. Isn't that amazing? There is nothing that causes us or makes us to be thankful. Here's an interesting thing, right? So I know for a fact, because the Bible says it, that the cause of death is this thing called sin. In the book of Romans, in chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So I know this for a fact, that if I sin, that the result of that is going to be and necessarily will be death. But there is nothing that I could possibly find in the Bible. Now, if you know something, throw it my way, all right? I mean, send me an email or something. Tell me that you found the source of Thanksgiving. But there is nothing that I could find in the Bible or anywhere else that says this is where Thanksgiving comes from. There is nothing that will force me to be thankful in my life. You know what I believe? I believe that it means this. It means that there is no thing that we can point to that will concretely make us thankful. Now get that. Not just nothing. There is no thing that will make us thankful. You know, there's so many people that I talk to, and they're like, "Oh, I just got to have this. I got to have this next better job. If I just get this promotion, if I just get this house, if I just get this car, if I just get married." I know I'm getting a little bit close to home now. But if I just find the right girl, or I just found the right guy, or I just have the right income level, I'll be thankful and I'll be satisfied. Can I tell you that's a lie? Every bit of it. There is no thing in this world that can make you be thankful. In fact, some of the least thankful people that I know have the most stuff. They have the most at their disposal. They have the most affluence. They have the most influence, but they're the least thankful people. In fact, you know, what's interesting is that even though we don't have something that we can point to that makes us be thankful, the Bible actually commands us and instructs us to be thankful. So how do we do that? If there's nothing that can make us thankful, how can we be thankful when the Bible commands us to do that? Because the Bible doesn't tell us to do things that we can't do. Here's what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse, I think it's 15 here. Yep. It says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. I don't know if you parents out there, any of you parents ever look at your kids and say it just like this, and be thankful. Eat your food and be thankful. If not, you should try it. It feels wonderful. Look at them and just tell them, that's the present that you got, and be thankful. Well, I wanted a different present. Okay, well, you can have no presents then, and be thankful. You know what's so important? It is that the Bible tells us, and be thankful. Let the peace of God, that means that we have to allow it to take place, and be thankful. The Bible commands us to be thankful. So here's the question. If God commands us to be thankful, how do we get thankful? How do we get full of thanks? You know, it's a two-part word, right? It's thankful, right? It's full of thanks. Full of thanks. It's important that we know how to fill up on that so we can have thankfulness and thanksgiving come out of our heart. Listen, the good news is this. We, that means you and I, we are in control of our thankfulness because it's not the result of anything. Here's the thing, right? If it was this one thing that could make us thankful and we don't have it, then we're off scot-free. We don't have to be thankful because we don't have that thing. But there is nothing, no thing that will make us thankful. That means that we are the masters of our own destiny. In other words, God is empowering us to be thankful despite anything. I like that. That means there's nothing that has control or has power or has the rule over me. Not a house, not a car, not a wife, not a kid, not a gift. None of those things have control over my ability to be thankful. Yep. Now, this is a good thing and it's a bad thing. For those of us that like to have excuses, it's a terrible thing. I can't point to it and say, oh, I don't have that, so I don't have to be thankful. I can just be a Scrooge all the time. But for those of us that want to be thankful, wow, isn't that so liberating to know that you don't have to have this, that, or the other thing in order to be thankful right where you're at, right here, right now, in this very moment. I love having the ability to do that. Can I tell you what kills thankfulness? Entitlement kills thankfulness. Entitlement kills thankfulness. Now, I'm not going to pick on any particular generations, but there are things flying around out there on the interwebs that talk about how we live in a generation of entitlement. Hey, look, entitlement kills thankfulness. I don't care what generation you're from, you can be entitled. You don't have to be an X, Y, Z, or otherwise. You can be entitled no matter what generation you came from. But entitlement will kill thankfulness. What's entitlement? Entitlement is this, if you look it up in the dictionary. I think we're following along back there, guys. All right. Well, entitlement is this. Entitlement is the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. That we deserve it. You know what I think? I think that I deserve for my wife to treat me nice. Wrong. You know what I think? I think that when I go to Starbucks, I deserve to be greeted by my proper name, my correct name. So funny, I've got people in my family that have unique names. Like my wife's name is Jolie, right? Like Angelina Jolie. You won't believe how many misspellings she gets on her Starbucks cups. Jolly. Jolene, Joylene, what was that? Jay Lee, and then my dad, Russell. He literally had a Starbucks cup that had his name spelled out on there, R-U-F-F-O. What's your name? Russell. Ruffle? I went to Starbucks and I, they said, what's the name on your cup? I said, Jake. They said, Jane. I said, do I look like a Jane to you? No, it's Jake. You see, I think that I should be entitled to have my name right on my Starbucks cup. Wrong. It steals your thankfulness for the wonderful darkness that's in that cup when you get your name wrong on your cup and you feel entitled to it, right? It just ruins your whole experience. You got my name wrong? Don't worry about it. The dark stuff is still in the cup. Hello, darkness, my old friend. You see, entitlement kills our thankfulness. You know, a kissing cousin, so to speak, to entitlement is this thing called expectation. When we have certain expectations that aren't met, oh my goodness, our thankfulness gets killed. When we expect that someone's going to treat us this way, or someone's going to smile at us just the right way, or maybe we expect that our car is going to be cleaned properly when we take it to the car wash, or when we, whatever that expectation is, when you have that Christmas gift, because Christmas is coming up, right, Tiara? Christmas is coming up. And when you open up that box and it was all the right weight, it was the correct weight, the box was the right size, it was the right wrapping, it was everything. And when you open it up, it's not what you expected. Thankfulness can sometimes leave the room. When we should be thankful that somebody even thought of us to give us a gift, you know? Entitlement and expectation, those are kissing cousins, and they both kill thankfulness. Check out what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says. You know what? I don't know if you know this, but we're living kind of like at the end of the age, at the end of time. I don't have time to go into it, but these are some of the things that the Bible says are going to be signs of the end times. This is what it says. But know this, that in the last days, perilous, treacherous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Let me pause right there. Kids, be obedient to your parents. Amen. Don't be a sign of the end times. Be obedient to your parents. It's important. God's watching over that stuff. You know what? He really is honestly looking over that stuff. It's a sign of the end times that people are disobedient to their parents. Check out the next one that I bolded and turned yellow on there. Unthankful. I think we live in a really unthankful society. I think we live in a very demanding society. It doesn't matter if you bend over backwards for somebody, sometimes they're just as liable to stab you right when you do, right when they're in the process of bending over backwards for you. Unthankfulness is a sign of the end times. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, not having any self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, that means puffed up, thinking highly of themselves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. You know, I don't want to hang out with unthankful people. You know why? Because it ruins my thankfulness. It taints it. It's kind of like if you get like some nasty tasting food and add it into your good tasting food, it taints it. It makes it terrible. Like, I'm not a big fan of ham ha. Anybody know what ham ha is? Yeah, now see, I really enjoy having ong choy and beef, right? And then when somebody throws some ham ha in there, for some of you, it makes it wonderful. For me, it ruins it. You see, when you get some unthankfulness in the mix, sometimes it can ruin the whole thing. You ever been around one of those Christmas parties where somebody is just Debbie Downer, the wet blanket, you know what I mean? And they come on in and they are just the downer and so unthankful for everything. Oh, I've had better food. Why are you guys all dressed like this? How come it's so hot in here? Oh my God, you know what I mean? That person, you're not that person, are you? Don't be that person. People don't want to be around you if you're like that. Unthankfulness is a sign of the end times. You know what? When we feel entitled, we cannot be thankful when what we expect doesn't come. We can only be disappointed when we don't receive what we feel we're entitled to. There's no way around it. You're gonna feel disappointed when you don't get what you're entitled to. It's mine. I should have it. Why do you have it when I should have it? When the person that's next to you gets the promotion and you don't get the promotion, now I know that doesn't happen because you're a believer and promotion comes from the Lord. But you know, when that person gets promoted over you somehow, jumps right over you, when you feel entitled, thankfulness for having a job that puts a roof over your head and feeds your family and all that, it just goes right out the window because we feel like it should be ours. It's mine. It's my precious. But let me tell you something. Our life will go in the direction of our most dominant thought or thoughts. Our lives will tend in the direction of our most dominant thoughts. When you think about beach all the time, guess where you're going to end up? Beach. When we allow thoughts of lack and disappointment in our lives and we grab onto that, when we let that stay in our lives due to entitlement and expectation, when we allow that to dominate our thoughts, our life will seem heavy. It'll seem lacking. It'll seem disappointing. You know, so many times our life really isn't disappointing. You've probably heard it said before that there are people in other places of the world that would love to have your sucky life.
That's right. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? There's some crazy statistic out there that there's like something like 80% of the people in the world will never have seen a telephone. Think about it for a moment. I know it sounds ridiculous because every one of us probably in this room has 1, 2, 3, 6 phones, whatever. You're totally reachable. But there are people on this planet, the majority of the people on this planet will never even see a telephone. They don't know what that thing is. You walk to go and talk to somebody. Isn't that amazing? But you know what? Somebody in the other part of the world would love to have your disappointing life. They would be so thankful for it. But I think there's nothing that's stopping us from being thankful for our own life except that we allow thoughts of disappointment to dominate our thought life. I want to show you this picture real quick. See this? The next little ripple that comes, she drowning. You know what I mean? Like the next little thing that comes along, water is going up her nose. You drop a stone in the water, she's under. You see, when we live our life like this, where disappointment and everything keeps us just barely floating there, some of you know what I'm talking about, that your life is like that, where it's just like, oh my goodness, I'm just barely making it here. Can I tell you, you're not just barely making it, but it feels like that. When we get our disappointment and our heaviness all over us, bam, we're just right there. And the next thing that comes, it's like, whoosh, we feel like we're drowning in disappointment. There's a better way to live. Here's the antidote. Here's the antidote to this. Here's the antidote to unthankfulness. Here's the antidote to loving your life right here and right now. Because remember, there's no thing that's stopping you. There's no thing that you don't have that you need. There is no thing that you can point to that's going to cause you to be happy. There's no thing that's going to cause you to be thankful. So since there's none of that in the way, you can be thankful right now. So let me tell you how to do it. You ready? Here's the antidote. The antidote to change is our perspective, is to change our perspective. Not what we see, but rather how we see. See, it's not about what you see. It's about how you see. I've got this feature on my truck that's like a 360-degree view. So when I'm parking, I have no excuse to park crooked, you know? And so when I slap the thing in reverse or I press the button that says camera, I can get this top view of my vehicle that shows me all the things around me. And so it's not about me just seeing the perspective right out of my front window, but now I can see the top view and I can see the lines around me and the cars on either side and I've got no excuse. All I had to do is change my perspective. It's important that we know how to change our perspective. Check this out. Thankfulness is a result of a decision of our will. It's a decision of our will, to eliminate entitlement and expectation, and to decide to be thankful in everything. Be full of thanks. Be thankful in everything. How can I do that? It's terrible, Pastor Jake. You don't even understand. Look, are you wearing clothes today? Yes, you are. It ain't that bad. Did you eat recently? It ain't that bad. Do you have a little bit of money or at least a credit card that you can use if you don't have any money? It ain't that bad. There's people dying of starvation. It ain't that bad. It's about changing our perspective. Can you say amen to that? In everything, give thanks. If we would just change our perspective, thankfulness would arise in our hearts. Check this out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:18 says this. In everything, give thanks. If you ever wanted to know the will of God for your life, let me tell you what the will of God for your life is. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. His will for your life is that you would give thanks. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes people are just like, I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. What is God's will for my life? Here's what God's will is for your life. Give thanks. Amen. Right where you're at. Right here, right now. I mean, just give thanks for what you've got. Oh, God, thank you for the shirt. It doesn't fit quite right, but thank you for the shirt so that I'm not having to preach without a shirt on because I would feel sorry for everyone. Thank you, God, for these shoes. They got a couple of stains on them, but thank you, God, that I'm not walking around barefooted. See, in everything, you can start to give thanks. And when we do that, God's will starts to come into play in our life. And can I tell you that why would God give you more if you're not already thankful for what you've got? It's like, God, I want more. You're not even thankful for what you got. Why are you going to give you more? You know what I mean? Like, if my kids are not thankful for what they have, why would I keep... I'm not trying to buy their love. God's not trying to buy your love either. This is God's will for your life, that you would be thankful. And when you start to get thankful, can I tell you that doors are going to start to open for you? Life is going to change for you. You're going to live on a different level than what you're living. And you're going to stop drowning in disappointment. What a better way to live this life. Amen? Amen. Philippians chapter 4:8. This is the secret right here. Here's the secret. It's the key. It unlocks everything in your life. It says this, finally. It's like the final word on the subject. Finally, brothers, sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, say any virtue. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. Meditate, some of you already know this, that word meditate conjures the image of a cow chewing its cud. So a cow goes, and you probably know that cows are ruminant animals. I know that all of you know that because you studied science, right? And so they've got these four stomachs going on, right? And the first stomach is called the rumen. So they eat grass, they chew it up, they swallow it down, and it mixes with some enzymes in that stomach. Then after they're finished, pardon me for just a moment as I get a little graphic, they throw that back up into their mouth. Then they chew on it some more to mash up the cell walls and all that stuff and get some more of that wonderful nutrients out of it. Then they swallow it down back into their next stomach. And that process continues over and over again. And if they are not allowed to do that process, they'll die. Because they can't extract the nutrients that they need out of grass when they don't do that process. You see, you can't get what you need in life without meditating. The other word is called ruminating. Without ruminating upon the things that you're thankful for. We've got to just keep bringing them back up again. You know what I mean? Just like you swallowed down some thankfulness, now just throw it up again and just chew on it. Oh, that was so good. You know, I mean, sometimes when I go to Rainbow's and I have myself a boneless chicken with extra mac salad gravy all over, I wish that I could eat it and throw it up again and eat it again because it was so awesome. Thankfulness is better than Rainbow's. I know it's hard to believe, but it is. Thankfulness is better. Amen. And we need to meditate on it if we want thankfulness to come up in our life. I know that right now some of you are thinking, I can't even, I can't even think of anything right now. That's a problem. Your thankfulness thingy is broken. We got to fix it today. You know, what if somebody brings you some food that tastes terrible? If there's any virtue, think on these things, right? So how do you do it? This food tastes terrible, but it's nutritious. Oh, well, praise God for nutrition. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, give me the grace to choke it down. What happens if the bed that you get on? See, when I went to Thailand for the first time, I remember, see, my tradition is that anytime that I go to a hotel, my first thing that I do after I drop my bags right there and right near the door is I go and I do like a suplex. Drop elbow right there, boom, right onto the bed. And the first time that I ever went to Thailand, I went over to the bed and I did this big jump. Boom, and it knocked the wind out of me. I mean, it was like sleeping on a piece of plywood, you know what I mean? Thankfulness did not well up in my soul. I was like, what is this? And this was a nice hotel. This was the nicest hotel that there was because my uncle worked in the hotel industry, and so he got us a special room at this really nice hotel there, and the bed was like a piece of plywood with a blanket on it. And I was tempted to be unthankful, but then I looked out the window. You know what I'm saying? And I saw the brown water flowing down the stream out there, and I saw the stalls out there where people are trying to sell things, and the open sewers that are on the side of the road. And I realized, man, I have this really good up in here. Yeah. You see, our perspective is really important. And we need to meditate. If there's anything good, find the anything good. Be that disgusting person that always finds something good in everything. Be that person. You know why? Because you're going to be happier than everybody else. You're going to be happier than anybody else. Everybody's going to be like, why are you so happy all the time? You know why? Because I find anything. Anything. If there's any virtue. In the King James Version of the Bible, it says, whatsoever things. See, you need to learn to find whatever things. Yeah. Yep. You got to learn how to find it. It's like a metal detector for whatever things. Beep, oh, whatever. I found whatever. See, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report. If there's any virtue, there's not a lot of virtue, but there's a little bit of virtue. By God, I found it. I had to look real hard, but I found it. But you know what? When you start finding that, your life will get better. You know, we can't think on these whatever things for very long without tending towards thankfulness. Remember, you move in the direction of your most dominant thought. When you start looking at the whatever things, your life is going to tend in that direction of thankfulness. You want to know how to get happy in your life right here, right now, no matter what situation you're in, because your life is pretty stinking good. You got to look at whatever things. You got to find the whatever things and then chew on them, swallow them, and then barf them back up again and chew on them some more until you get all of the whatever goodness out of it. You know, this lifestyle practice, it gives us resiliency. Say resiliency. Resiliency is an important characteristic to have because life is like a constant onslaught, isn't it? Life is constantly coming at us. But how do we become resilient against the onslaught? How do we not break when the first little puff of wind comes? How do we not drown when the first little wave comes? Thankfulness gives us resiliency. Here, check this out. See this girl? Water polo, tough sport. You see how far her nose is out of the water? That's what thankfulness does to you. It gives you this resiliency. Man, it would have to be a tsunami for her to drown. Remember the other girl? She was just like right here. Water's right there. Oh my goodness, one more disappointment, and I just don't think that I can handle it anymore. I'm going under. If I have one more letdown from the things that I'm entitled to and the things that I'm expecting, I will not make it if one more thing goes wrong today. Get resilient. Get thankful. get full of all of that stuff. It makes you rise. Your life will start to rise when thankfulness comes into your heart. The way that we do that is simply by thinking about it, thinking about the whatever things. Do you know that it only takes 1 inch of water for somebody to drown? Think about it. Your nose is not very big unless you're French or something like that. And even at that, it only takes 1 inch of water for somebody to drown. You know, your life maybe might not be that bad. It might just be 1 inch of water. It's not even the entire Pacific Ocean that you're drowning in. It just feels like it. I don't care how much water you've got in your nose. It doesn't feel good. But you see, when we get resiliency through thankfulness, we begin to rise. You know, when we start thinking about these things all the time, thanksgiving will start to spill out of our mouth in an almost effortless kind of a way. See, thanksgiving is a result of an overflow of thankfulness. You see, it's hard to give when you're not even full. When you're empty, it's hard to give out. When you don't have enough for yourself, how are you going to give? There's a story in the book of I think it's in the book of Revelation, and it talks about how there were, or it talks about the end times, and the bridegroom is coming, and there's these 10 women that are waiting for the bridegroom to come, and 5 of them had only enough oil for themselves to keep their lamps burning. 5 of them didn't even have any oil. They were out. And I don't think the saddest thing about the story is the girls that didn't have the oil. I think the saddest thing about that story is the 5 that only had enough for themselves. You know why? Because when you only have got enough for yourself, you know who you have to think about? Yourself. And it's very hard to be thankful because we don't have enough to give. What would happen if they had so much? It's like it just was oozing out of their container. It was just spilling over. You know what their answer would be? Please take some. I've got more than enough. It's leaking out all over the place. It's getting everywhere. Please hurry up and take some. When our life gets so thankful that it's so full that it's overflowing, thanksgiving begins. And you don't even have to try. It just starts to spill and starts to pour out of every part of you. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, and I'm about to land this plane. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says this: a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. There may not be a truer scripture in scripture. I mean, they're all true, but that was an overstatement, I guess. But this is so true. You know, if you get into a tough, tense situation and swearing comes out of your mouth, and somebody's like, oh my gosh, where did that come from? It was in there. That's where it came from. It's like if you've got this little bump on your forehead, you squeeze on it and stuff pops out of it. Where did that come from? It was in there. It was in there. See, when we used to travel and I would get stressed out and I would be not nice to my family because they don't know how to travel right. Slow. Too many things. Why don't you wear the shoes that don't have shoelaces that you have to untie for 5 minutes before we get to the line? You knew you were going to take those shoes off, didn't you? Come on, man. You know why I got upset and stressed and all of that stuff? It was in there. But you know when it's not in there, it can't come out? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Some people say some nasty things when they get angry. You know what that tells me? It's in there. You don't see no lemon juice until you squeeze it. But you know what's in there when you do. See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what happens when you get your heart full of thanksgiving and full of thankfulness? What's going to happen is that it's going to start to spill out of your mouth. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of your tongue. Amen. Your tongue. Yes. And your life will either partake of life or it'll partake of death depending upon what comes out of your mouth. And you know what? When we start speaking thankfulness over our life, and we start speaking thankfulness over our situation, oh, well, you don't understand, Pastor Jake. I'm just a melancholy person. I don't care. Then you'll have whatever you say. The Bible says you will have whatsoever you say. So if you keep saying downer kind of things, guess how your thoughts and guess how your thing is going to turn out? Just like that. But you start saying good things about your life and about your situation, about your spouse. Start saying good things about them. Whatever things, it's going to get better. Here's the thing. Whatever you say is going to steer your life. Whatever you say is going to steer your life. See, you can either end up like Two-Face over here, one side this way, one side that way. Whatever you choose, that's where you're going to go. Do you know that nobody can change what comes out of your mouth? Only you. Nobody can force anything out of your mouth. I remember that tragedy at Columbine High School. You guys remember that? Some of you are old enough to remember. And that tragedy at Columbine High School, I remember that people recounted the stories of what happened and that the gunman was going around to people and telling them to renounce Jesus. And if they didn't, that he was going to blow their brains out. And you know what? No matter even if somebody has a gun held to your head, you don't have to agree. And the heroes of the faith that I heard about in those moments who said, I don't care what you do, you can kill me, but I will not renounce Jesus. You can't make me do that. There is nothing that anyone can make you do. It might cost you your life, but no one can ever make you do something. You know what I'm saying? I think that when we decide that I'm going to be thankful in the face of life and in the face of this and that, man, my mouth is just going to take me in this direction. I'm always going to go in that direction. I'm going to give you this one last scripture, and then I'm going to land this plane. James chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. It says this, look at ships. Look at ships. Big boats. Liko is here. He's in the Coast Guard. He would know a little bit about boats. We got Rodney over here in the Navy. He would know something about boats. See, look at ships. Look at boats. Although they are so large, and they're driven by fierce winds, even if it's a sailboat or whatever, they are turned by a very small rudder. When you take a look at the size of a ship in comparison to the size of its rudder, it is amazing how that small little thing has so much power, isn't it? When you look at the size of a rudder, it has a very small rudder. Wherever, and they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Guess what? All of you get your pilot's license today. You get to pilot this little thing that's inside of your face. And wherever you choose that it's going to go, that's where your boat's going to go. Check it out. Even so the tongue. See, it's making an analogy here that just like this big boat is going to be turned by a little rudder, your tongue is a small thing inside of your face. But it's going to change and it's going to take your huge life wherever it is that you decide that you're going to go because you're the pilot of your ship. Amen. Even so, the tongue is a little member and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? In other words, it doesn't take a wildfire to start a wildfire. It takes a spark. It takes someone playing with a match. It takes somebody playing with a firework, right? I mean, that's all it takes. So let's put that into your life. It doesn't take a wildfire for you to get thankful. It takes you lighting a spark in your heart of thankfulness. It takes just a little bit of playing around with fire to set your life on fire of thankfulness. Can I tell you that you are the pilot of your own ship? If you don't like where your life is going, change it. Change your destination. Punch in a new address on your GPS. Take yourself someplace else by the words that you say. If you find yourself in this direction, well, you want to be in this direction, change this inside of your face, and your life will take on a whole new perspective. You've probably heard that saying that your altitude is determined by your attitude, right? Attitude in pilot terms is nose up or nose down. Your altitude is going to be determined by whether your life is going downwards or upwards, and you change that all with this little thing inside of your face. But how do you change that? Whatever is the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So you got to change the abundance of your heart. How do you do that? By thinking on whatever things. Whatever things. Look for the thankfulness. Look for the virtue. Look for the praise and put it on the inside of you so that naturally what comes out is thanksgiving. Let me give you one thing as we close today. Just one thing. If you're going to remember one thing from this message, I want you to remember this as soon as the screen shifts for me. I want you to remember this one thing, just one thing. Look for the whatever things and let thanksgiving begin to spill out of your mouth. If you want to encapsulate that in a phrase, change your thoughts, change your life. Change your thoughts, change your life. Can I give you one bonus piece of advice? The Bible says, take every thought into captivity. Just because you start down a particular path of thought doesn't mean you have to keep going there. If you don't like where you're going, stop it. Arrest it. Take it into captivity. Reverse it and change your direction. Go back to the point where you were happy and where you knew that you were on the path that you wanted to be, and then go back to being that. When I was playing volleyball, we used to do a lot of visualization exercises. And one of the things that I always used to visualize was doing it right. You never want to visualize doing it wrong. So sometimes I'd be visualizing, I'd be playing an entire match in my mind, and then I would make a mistake in my match. The power of visualization is simply this, that I could stop that match. I could reverse that match and redo that play and like instant replay, but only better. That I could go back and I could redo that play and do it right. So can I tell you that if you start going down the wrong path, just stop. Reverse. Do it again, because you're the pilot of your ship. And wherever your tongue goes, that's where your life is going to follow. Can I pray for you today? Lord God, I thank you for these amazing men and women, children in this house. God, I pray right now that this word would sink into their soul and that they would begin to look for the whatever things. God, that they would get so thankful that instead of being on the verge of drowning every day by disappointment, that they would be so high up on thanksgiving and thankfulness that they would be impossible to drown. God, I thank you for resiliency in their lives and in their world. And I thank you, God, that you're causing them to pilot their ship in the direction that you would like for them to go. We thank you for them, God, and I speak a blessing over them today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you welcome Pastor Jolie as she closes us today?
Thank you. That was awesome, Pastor Jake. Thank you for reminding us how to, not just how, but where Thanksgiving comes from and how to make sure that we're generating that in and of ourselves. Amen. We just want to remind you this week that though we do have connect groups going on during this session, we will not have connect groups during this week because of Thanksgiving celebration. So you can enjoy being thankful with your family. And if you don't have a family to celebrate Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day, please come and join us. We'll be at the Source from 12 o'clock noon, and it's a potluck, so you can bring whatever you would like to share, but there will be the main dishes provided, turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes. So don't worry, you won't be without, and you don't have to celebrate Thanksgiving alone. Also, after church, again, when we dismiss today, we ask that you just pick up your belongings, move them either to your cars or to the sides of the buildings so that we can go ahead and pick up all the chairs. The ushers are going to reset everything so we have tables to be able to sit at and enjoy our Thanksgiving lunch together. So guests, if you're here for the first time, second time or whatever, and you're just visiting with us, we welcome you and we actually want you to stay and enjoy Thanksgiving luncheon with us today. Don't worry about tickets or anything. We have prepared extra enough for you to be able to join us. So please stay, and as soon as we dismiss, we'll do that. But as Pastor Jake was finishing up his message, thankfulness, you know, when I prepare the worship sets and the songs that we sing for church, one of the songs that I really, really, really love, and it's like burned into my memory because we grew up singing it all the time, was When I Think About the Lord. And that song is a great, if you know it and you know the words, I'm going to sing it real fast and you can sing it with me. If you can go through this week and just remember, When I think about the Lord, how he saves me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he filled me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and he turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. Makes me want to shout, amen? Amen. Amen. Remember that song and sing it throughout the week. And remember your thankfulness, amen? We're so grateful for every single one of you and that you're here to celebrate with us and to be thankful. Don't forget to tell one another why you're thankful for one another. And as we close today's service and get everything set for our luncheon, please stay and please fellowship. Amen. We love you guys. Be blessed.